If you have a prayer request, go ahead and... Something that I saw, and I'm just going to come out flat out and say it. I'm not going to try to beat around the bush, so you're all trying to guess what I'm going to be exactly I'm talking about today, because what I'm going to tell you today covers the whole array and will set you free if you will put the key back in the lock in your mouth and shut it. Earlier this week, we all know that Hurricane Harvey flooded South Texas, Houston, and all that area down in there really bad. And it did not take long for critics and people to start pointing fingers and blaming everybody. And one of the things that has come out on national television, and it's just flooding social media, and that's where I was going to address it, but you know what? There's too many morons on Facebook. Yes, I said it. I'm on there. You might think I'm a moron. I don't know. But one of the things is everybody's pointing their finger at Joel Osteen, calling him a bad man because he didn't open up his church. There's pictures. Oh, the church wasn't flooded. He showed pictures from the inside of the church, which was flooded. It goes down. Okay? It goes into the earth. You know what? How many of you got a flooding basement? Few of you ever had, you know what happens when heavy rains, and especially when the ground, the water rises, it's got to go somewhere. Now, I don't care what Joel preaches. He hasn't said anything bad to me. I have nothing against the man. He's made most of his money writing his books. Okay, I know a lot of preachers that are jealous because Papa Osteen, John handed him the reins, and Joel didn't want them. But he said, you're the pastor. I figured those guys ought to at least honor the man that they say they honor. But the point being is all the people I'm seeing on Facebook are Christians. They are blasting Joel because he didn't open up his church soon enough. And then when the truth came out, they were able to pump the water out. Okay? Just so you know. Now, like I said, if there's any falsehood in this, it's going to come out. But God wanted me to address this from here because my platform is here. Look, each and every last one of you have influence. But it doesn't matter. What if somebody were to come and say, what if Mount Gilead were starting to flood? And, oh, pastor, open up your church, open up your church. Okay, that's great. We open up the church, but how long do you think before it floods? The truth of the matter is everybody should have been getting the heck out of Houston. Right? Not hanging out in Houston. Leave Houston. But no, we want to be stupid about this and start pointing fingers and go, he's a bad man. He's a heretic. He's this. He's that. You know what? I'm going to show you some scripture today. And like I said, I'm saying this so that people, because it comes to our mind. Because I know when I first heard the report, you got to be kidding me. But then I saw the interview live with him, and he said, listen, we had flooding inside the church. It wasn't flooded outside. But because it's a amphitheater style, it goes into the earth. And how many of y'all been down to Texas? They don't have what I call earth. It's sand. There's a reason they don't build basements in North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas. There's no way stopping it. But I'm going to hit some scriptures here because I do have some time. And then we will pray. So if you still need to write up a prayer request, go ahead and do it. And yes, we have got Hurricane Harvey covered as far as that. So if that's your prayer request, we're covered. But open your Bibles. This isn't going to come up on the top because I did not give. But if she wants to see how fast she is, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. My Bible, these words are in red. That means you should pay attention, right? Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, what's he saying? He says, if you're not taking all of the... Wow. If you're not taking all of the information properly, that's how he's going to judge you. One-sided. How would you like to be judged one-sided? I personally want people to hear my story. But see, that's not what we do, especially with preachers who are in the mainstream life, as it were. But how about other believers? We have got to remember, we got to give that grace. Now, I'm going to state this here because I know years ago I remember hearing people going around teaching this, and it's not what God was saying. He's telling us as individual believers not to be judging people. That does not mean you cannot serve on a jury. I want you on the jury if you're a righteous person. I don't want a corrupt person who says, well, all preachers are hit. I knew a guy. He said that. Right to my face. They're all crooked. I said, you ever bought a used car? Yeah. You buy used cars? Yeah. So you won't go buy a used car because most of them are crooked, right? He saw the point. He was judging me based on everybody else. But, and not necessarily everybody else, but a few experiences he may have had. Or in all honesty, because I know his situation, he only heard one side of the story. By the way, Proverbs tells us we're a fool if we judge anything by only hearing one side of the story. That's why in a court of law today, you have the prosecution and the defense. You hear two sides of the story. And it's up to a jury to put the facts together, okay? Now, what I was going on about that, though, is we have to understand that governmental things, they're of God. That's why our government's set up the way it is. God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. But yet God turns around and says that the government is God's instrument to bring justice militarily. So governmental, we need people who are listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit may show you something in that case that you can bring up in the jurors' room and say, hey, they said this. See, attention to details means a world. I don't want God judging me because I made a hasty judgment about somebody. Well, that person, he just, you know, I'll be honest with you. If I got bent out of shape every time I passed somebody that did not wave at me, who cares? You know, I know Richard's waved at me a couple times, and I just recognized that it was him because there's two guys with white beards driving those trucks. And it's like, Richard's never gotten offended that I didn't wave at him. And if you waved, it's because I probably recognized your license plates afterwards, because some of you got vehicles that look a lot. Well, my daughter-in-law's got a car that there's 50,000 of them in this county. I said, you got to put a hood scoop or something on it. I just won't wave back. But the point being, you can't get bent out of shape because, well, maybe they were thinking hard about something. Maybe, they didn't say hi to me in the store. You never know what's going on in somebody's head, what's going on in their life right at the moment, and maybe they don't want to talk. Not everybody wants to tell you all their garbage, because guess what happens? You tell somebody else. Next thing you know, it's around town, and this isn't a very big town. John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Righteous means that it is God's way of being right. According to our law, a woman who's being beaten, who retaliates back and she kills her husband, is guilty of murder. According to law. Am I not correct? But if he's continually beating her, maybe she didn't mean to kill him. Maybe she just wanted to give him a little taste of his own medicine, to which, call me. There's times I get a little frustrated and need to release some tension. I won't bring weapons. But God said, do not judge by just what you see. Look at the whole situation. You know, here's the thing. How many of you have watched? I know some of you have and some of you haven't. I love it because it proves such a point, and it was written by Christians. The movie Hoodwinked. I'll admit to it. It's a little cartoon about the Red Riding Hood story. Okay? And they have to prove what happened. They have to prove why. You know, we know the original story, which, holy smoke, why did we ever tell those to children? Somebody, they think we had twisted minds. That's probably so. But in the end, it proved out that what everybody, they had already crucified the wolf. And the truth of the matter is, he was just a reporter trying to find out where all the goodies were going. And he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I actually love it. But see, the police that were there, they automatically arrested him. And then the inspector said, you can't just arrest somebody because they're creepy. And then the one, I think it was a pig, he said, hey, you know the guy in the cell? Yeah, the creepy one? Yeah, let him out. That's what we do. We judge somebody just because they look different. They may have dreadlocks. They may not have any hair. They may have a lot of hair. They may not shave. They may not have a hair on their eye, no eyebrows, no nothing. We look at them, oh, you're weird. You're creepy. That has nothing to do. We judge people based on the outside instead of looking at the truth. I've met some people in this community that over the years, that I remember seeing them out and about, and I said, Lord, that just does not look like a friendly guy. And then God threw me into their life. And I found out they were one of the most generous and loving people I had ever met. I was judging them based on their appearance. So don't ever think just because somebody looks different. This is where racism starts. I mean, we can say, if we want to get real technical, folks, listen, it's not just the black and white thing. There wasn't too many years ago, you would have hated me because of my Irish backgrounds. Irish Scottish. Or, if you were Catholic, we would have hated each other because we're Protestant and Catholic. This is what I'm talking about. Different doesn't mean we're wrong. I thank God we're different. Now, Romans chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. You need to understand, you may not be practicing adultery and all that, but if you're judging somebody in the situation, which, you know, we know that it's not right, that it is wrong. But you're not the judge. Because what you do is you condemn yourself, because God sees sin as sin. There is no degrees of sin. Oh, a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie, okay? No white lie. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? We will not escape judgment because, oh, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm gonna judge Richard. You know, because, well, I'm a better Christian. Really? That's what we do. We elevate ourselves over people when we judge them. And God has been telling us through the centuries, you will bring judgment on yourself. We don't need to judge another brother. We don't need to judge another man. This is what we have got to get hold of and embrace. We are not the judge. Now, I will say this, and I've noticed a lot of people recently, you heard that there was a state senator who called basically for the assassination of our president, who later recanted. Only my Lord Jesus Christ can judge me. Okay, she's not repentant. I just tell you that right now. Anybody who comes out and says, only God can judge me, they're not repented yet. They didn't judge themselves. The Bible tells us to judge ourselves first. We have got to stop looking and saying, well, you know what? I'm standing here even saying that and just realizing that technically I just judged her. You see how easy it is. That's why we're getting wound up about things as believers. We need to shut our mouth. Well, we got to stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's right, but don't cross the lines. When we start judging people, listen, judgment is like walking a tightrope. The only problem is the tightrope is now covered with ice. You're going to slip. Because if you're judging somebody, that means you had better be 100% above board. And I can promise you there's not one of us. Well, Pastor, I don't go out. Listen, if you drive 1 mile an hour over the speed limit, you are guilty of breaking the entire Ohio Revised Code. That's what the Bible teaches. If we, one little thing in the Bible, we don't do one little thing in the Bible according to the law, we're guilty of the whole law. Talk about some serious weight coming down on you. So we have got to be careful not to be judging people. And especially those of the household of faith. Well, I don't call him a brother. Well, that's okay. Because you know what? I've never heard him say anything bad about anybody else who's judging him. Okay, I don't care if you like him or not. I don't care. If you enjoy his sermons, enjoy them. Take the good out of them. Like I said, I have to believe that Brother John saw something in his son that the world needed in order to pull him out of a TV room to where he produced videos. God saw something in him. And for all of his critics in the ministry, then if you call him your father in faith, then you have to deny that he was a good man because, according to you, he made a mistake. And you know what? I looked down. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. When God looked down on the earth and man and all of creation, what did he say? It is good. It is good. But if we want to get nitpicky, we want to get critical and judgmental, we can say, God, what were you thinking? This is not good. You knew Adam was going to sin. You knew all of this. And yet you still made us. The truth of the matter is, it's still good. Once the church learns to stand up and take its true role, listen, we're trying to fight a fight that's done in the spirit. We're trying to go out in the streets and try to fight racism. Listen, red, yellow, black, and white doesn't matter. We all need to humble ourselves before the Lord and repent. This is what everybody says. If my people who are called by my name will pray. That they always cut out some important parts of that scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, and they got to turn away. One of our wicked ways is judging people. Somebody messes up. You know what? Maybe his timing was just off. I mean, I'm standing back there thinking about it. It's like, well, Lord, what would I have done? What would I have done? Because I told Angela, I said, I know what the building is, how the structure is. It's dug down into the earth. so that they could get 50,000 people into that building. Around here, it's not such a huge deal. Down there, it's a huge deal. And I told her, I said, well, more than likely, it was the lower levels that were flooded. And I said, I guess they could have brought people in to some of the upper levels. But let's stop and think about this. And as I said earlier, Houston is flooding, not getting better. Why are you going downtown where they are afraid it's going to overtake it? This goes to show the mentality of people. They need leadership, not somebody saying, you didn't open your church. Listen, the last couple of really hard rains we've had, that room on the other side has flooded. It rained so hard, the drains couldn't hold it. And water ran in under the doors. And there were several inches of water in there. Well, Pastor, you need to open the doors. You need to open the doors. Well, I can't put anybody over there. I can't put anybody in the middle. Well, you got all this huge building. The only place they can come is right here. And you think this building is actually going to accommodate enough space for even this community behind us? No. They need, people should have been going someplace higher. When I say higher, I mean further north. I don't know why it is, people here, there's a massive hurricane coming, get out of Dodge. Me personally, I'm thinking, okay, if it's really that bad, I can lock my house up and drive north. Find a relative that lives in Canada. No. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him to stand. So, if you needed to hear it anymore about it, he's not your servant. That's what God is just keeps telling me when I see something. You know, even a brother or sister that, you know, they aren't even necessarily in the ministry, but I'm thinking, Lord. And he says, are they your servant? Nope. I just pray for them. Lord, help them. When we can get to that point, folks, listen, I'm telling you, the whole Bible, what God has been trying to get us back to is loving each other. Like she was talking today, you know, about hate. I told you a couple years ago in the message, you were never built to hate. Nowhere will you see Jesus say, hate this. We were commanded to love each other. We don't have to love sin. We have to love the sinner. And this is where the church got to. The church was so rigid. There's a message it's stirring up in me. I just ain't quite got it all to coagulate yet. About this, we want law. We want to make people live under a law. So then people started getting hold of grace, and the problem is they went so far away from what the truth was about the law was trying to do that they went to the far side and started preaching what we call sloppy grace. You ain't got to change. Yes, you do need to change. But it's God who changes you, not me. It's God's timing. It's revelation of who you are. And when all that starts coming into place, folks, and like I said, this is one of these areas right here. Just in the last even more years, I've read it. I mean, it's been highlighted in my Bible so that the yellow is fading. I knew it, but it's becoming more of a revelation. I'm not called to judge anybody else's servant. That's not my job. My job is to love them. And maybe if they need something said, it'd be in the right spot. But it's not going to come out as judgmental or critical. It'll come out to help them, not hinder them. Because all the law does is attaches you to an anchor. And you can't get away. Grace frees you from the sin and from the law. Because you know what? Well, you know what? I don't want to judge Richard. I love him. He's my brother. Maybe we ought to quit judging our own physical brothers too. And sisters. But most of the time we do this, folks. The reason we judge is because we don't get the full scoop. We're satisfied with the garbage, aren't we? We love garbage. There's a lot of the church that has thrown Joel Osteen under a bus. And they haven't given one dime to disaster relief yet. Not one dime. We sent money first of the week. That's not bragging on us. That's just telling you, you have a right to know this. But the people who are judging, I can promise you, have not helped one iota because they don't really care. They're stuck in religion that says, I got to judge you. You failed. If there's anybody in here without failing, please stand up. I want to see God use lightning. Oh, no. So let's remember that before we go judging somebody else, okay? Because like I said, we're going to be praying for some of these things today. And I want you to understand, God will move. God moves by love. Your faith is fed by love, not by judgment, not by law. God doesn't have to move on your behalf. He doesn't have to. But because of your love, which is fueling your faith in Him, He now has to. So if you want to know why the poop truck backed up to your front door this week and unloaded, it was because you're judging. You've got to stop it. I don't want to be judged with the same kind of judgment. Well, is that the truth? Well, I'm just going to go out and crucify him. The only thing I'm told in my Bible to crucify is myself. Think about that for a moment. By the way, did you ever try to crucify yourself? If we crucify ourselves the way Jesus was, stop and think about it. Okay. What are you going to do? You give the hammer to somebody else. They better be in loving. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just take this all the way. Donk. But I don't want to see you guys suffering. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. And I was like, God, I really don't want to, because I know there's probably some people in there that are probably just got what CNN shot off. And I'm like, God, I don't want to do this. Because, you know, when you make people mad, that's when they leave. Trust me. Been doing this long enough. But God said, well, what did I call you to do? He called me to pastor, not be their friend. And if you are already working hard at practicing this, and maybe you don't even know some of this, but if I stepped on your toes today about it, repent of it and just move on. Don't have to come up to me and say, oh, pastor, you know. As a matter of fact, don't do that today. I know a lot of you come and say, oh, pastor, I needed that message. Some of them, you know, they're pretty good, but this one, I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. Some things are better left unsaid. But move on and let God move in your life, okay? We've got some prayer requests here. Here, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to put these in an order. And maybe not. think I'm just going to go down through it. It's the best way to do it. But remember, our faith is fueled by our love. You don't know what's going on in somebody's life, don't judge them. You know, I've had plenty of people saying, "Pastor, you know, I don't know why this is happening." I'll tell you why. You are a Christian. You're first off a human being. And second off, you claim Christ, so the devil hates you even more. And he's going to capitalize upon everything he can. Now, I need you to understand this. The devil doesn't make the majority of stuff happen in your life. Decisions, ours and somebody else's, usually make it. The devil capitalizes on them. Pushes and pushes things until you're at a breaking point. When we quit blaming everything on the devil, you know, there's a meme on Facebook that says around, yeah, everything happens for a reason. And it's usually you made a bad decision. That is the truth. Okay? Well, let's go before the Lord. We got some healing. I'm going to be going around praying for people. And looks like I'm going to be praying for a lot of people. And yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We're going to pray. We're going to pray about that. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. So, okay. Like I said, I'm going to be moving around here because I got a few people to lay hands on. I'm going to pray for you. Those of you know, you don't understand how this works. That from time to time, the Holy Spirit may tell me to hand these out. Because just as I shared last week, you know, with Bob as he gave his testimony, my job is not to hold your hand, it's to lead you and teach you. And them being able to stop and pray and get an agreement on it made the world a difference. So don't ever think that God doesn't care about this. Amen? Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that you have not left the throne, that you are still there. You are, Lord Jesus, you taught us that whatever we ask the Father in your name, that he would do it. And we come now with the desires, with the burdens of our brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are moving in our lives, Father, and I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And Father, right now, let me have your thumb. Father, I speak life back into this thumb, back to these nerves. I command them right now to reconnect. Father, that the pain will be gone and that the sensitivity that needs to be there will be back to it in Jesus' name. Life, life, life. And Father, I also pray for Miss Katie, and Lord, I speak life right now into her eyes. Father, particularly this one, Lord, I pray that right now that you touch it. Father, and if there is something she needs to have examined, Lord God, that you will move on her. But Father, if this is something that's just being a nuisance, we speak life right now and we command it to be healed and to line up with the way you created. We command those optic nerves to keep continual focus and to hold on and with the proper connectivity in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, I pray for Miss Edna, and I thank you, Lord God, that you're touching her, you're healing her, you're moving in her body, Father God, and you're causing everything that is out of alignment to be back into alignment. Lord God, I command this body to line up with the way you created it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And we also, Lord, we pray for healing in her family, Lord God. The stress of recent activities, Lord God, I pray right now that you move and heal this wound in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord God, we intercede for the Hanshaws and the Brashears, Lord. Thank you. Right now, you're moving in their life and you're healing them, Lord God. This sickness has to go in Jesus' name. We speak life right now back into them. Fevers, chills, in Jesus' name, you have to cease and desist. Hallelujah. Okay, Father, I pray for Cindy right now. Lord, I ask that you touch her, heal her, Lord God. Father, with her eyes and her back, Lord God, you know how they're supposed to be. Father, I pray right now that you correct everything in Jesus' name. Remove the pain, remove the fuzziness, and any issues that are lining up with that, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you and praise you, Lord God. She is healed and she is whole. Hallelujah. Let's see. And Father, we also pray for Dwayne. We ask first off, Father, for salvation. Lord God, that you reveal yourself to him to be the great I am. Lord, that you are his redeemer and you are his healer. Father, touch his body in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are the God that heals us, Lord God, that you touch us, you know what's going on in our bodies. And Father, right now, I pray for Miss Judy, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, with that jump, I declare her healed and whole in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Life. Life to these shoulders, this hip, and these wrists in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father God, I pray for Miss Brenda. I pray that you touch her. Lord God, you know what's going on inside her body. I command life into that heart in Jesus' name. Touch her, Lord God. Make her whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, in Jesus' name, and nothing but peace. Hallelujah. Thank And Father, we also pray for Miss Rosalie, and we thank you, Lord God, that you have moved on her behalf already. But Father, we thank you right now that her oxygen levels are going to come up so high, Lord, that she will be free from even having to use any oxygen. Lord, I thank you and praise you for what the miracles you've already shown her, Lord, that you are faithful. And I stand with her as her brother and as her pastor. And I say that she is healed and she is whole, and the devil will not come in without a fight. We will stand in Jesus' name. We thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray for Janelle and her family, Lord God. You see the turmoil they're in, Lord God, that they need, first off, to find you. They want to find happiness. They've got to find you, Lord God. I pray that every day you start putting somebody into their life, Lord God, somebody who exemplifies you, Lord, loving, happy, full of joy and life. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving that into it. And Father, I stand against anything the enemy would try to come in with and sending religious, dead, dry, and dusty people to discourage her. Lord, I pray that you send loving people that truly love your people and that love people. Minister to her in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray for Alan's son. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You see what's going on in this little boy's life. Father, I speak right now to that brain, and I command it now to begin to function. Parts of that brain that were dead, that have been called mush, I speak life into them right now in Jesus' name. They will fire. They will reactivate, Lord God, that his digestive system will take hold. His brain will start functioning that, Lord God, and retardation will not, I say not, be an issue in this situation. In Jesus' name, this little boy who is less than a year old will not have to live with this. In Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for AJ, and we ask, Lord, that you help him and his family find a home, Lord God, but also in this finding a home, Lord God, that they find you in all of this. Lord, that you move in their lives, Father, and continue to show them how God has moved, how you have moved in on their behalf in things, Father. Thank you and praise you, Father, that they will come to the saving grace, the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, we continue to pray for Lisa, and we thank you, Father, that her surgery was successful. She's made it through. Lord, we pray that you continue to touch her as she's healing from this. Father, I thank you and praise you that there will be no repercussions, Lord, that all of this will point straight to you, that you are the God who loves. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, I speak right now to these herniated discs and pinched nerves right now in Jesus' name. I speak life back into them, Father. I thank you and praise you, first off, that in the meantime, you're giving Susan wisdom. But also, Father, you're touching her, healing her. Lord God, arthritis has no place to stand. It has a name, and it has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. We speak life right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the revelation that Scott has gotten on his alcohol abuse, Lord God. Father, I thank you and praise you that as he is on day number 8 without touching any alcohol, Father, that you continue to move in his life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that he calls Maggie. Lord, you put her in his life. Give her the wisdom. Give her the courage. Father, I thank you and praise you that Scott not only will become free from alcohol, but he will come to the saving grace of Jesus as well. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for this young man who tried to hang himself. Lord, people have to get to a very dark place to want to snuff out their life. Father, I pray that you surround him while he's in the hospital. Father, not with people who want to just keep him sedated, but Father, people that want to love him and show him that there is life, that there is a way that you can be free. Father, not saying that many Christians haven't felt this way, but we do when we let the world take over. Father, put people in his life right now that can encourage him, that can lift him up and build him up in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray also for Jerry and Joanne. Lord, we pray that you move on their behalf with this title issue, with their property. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving in their behalf right now, miraculously, Lord, that whatever was thrown up as a deterrent, Lord God, that they continue to hold on and stand in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray as a body that not only this body, but the entire church would begin to change into becoming that great witness that this world needs. They need to see the love. They need to see the true caring, Father. They need to see us walking in truth and grace. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're stirring in believers all across this nation and across this world to up their game. Thank you and praise you, Father, that you're moving on believers today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, we pray for wisdom, supernatural wisdom, yet, Lord, for our president, Father, especially when dealing with North Korea and with all the naysayers and things of that nature, Father, that are coming against him, Lord, regardless of whether we people voted for him or not, he is our president, and you said to pray for him. So we pray for him. Lord, we pray that you give him that wisdom, Lord, and that the truth in all things would come out, Lord. Father, that those that are scurrying around to hide the truth and to create falsehoods, Lord God, would be found out no matter who they are. I thank you and praise you, Father, that you're giving our military leaders, General Mattis, the wisdom. Father, I personally thank you for putting him there. Lord God, a man of valor who will not back down, but he loves this country and its people. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for our Congress, and we pray that they unify, Father, that they quit fighting amongst themselves, and they begin to do what's the best nature of this country. Father, that whatever the differences they have, Father God, that they are all washed away. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord, we also pray for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, Lord God, all of our brothers and sisters of this country who are in Texas right now, and even for the rescue workers. Lord, we pray for wisdom and for protection over them, Father, against any disease that may be born, and Father, me personally, against gators. But Father, I thank you and praise you. You're moving right now on their behalf down there, Father. You're going to cause these floodwaters to run out and into the Gulf of Mexico quickly and with as little destruction as possible. Father, we thank you and praise you that not necessarily life as normal, but that wisdom moves in, Father, in the whole situation. And Father, in all things, that truth is revealed. Now, Father, we thank you and praise you that you're moving in that. And Father, we thank you that if there's anything else needed, that this not only this country, but even this congregation, we can pony up and we can do our part. And Father, we also pray for Israel. We thank you for Israel. We ask that you move on Israel. Continue to protect her, Lord. And Father, and we thank you for a president, first off, that honors Israel. We thank you that we are moving in the right direction, that even though our country is in upheaval right now, you said, whoever blesses Israel, I will bless. So, Father, we stand on that, knowing that. And Father, I pray for Quaker. Lord, I pray that you move in his life, that you bless him, Father. Whatever the situation he is in, that he needs your guidance and wisdom. Lord, I pray that you move in whatever blessing it is. Move on him right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for Ted's daughter. Lord, we thank you, Father, that she is seeing truths, Lord God, that you will give her courage to stand up against the lies. Father, that she will have a new start in her life. Father, that she will be free from any of controlling lies, and that, Father, that truth will be revealed. But Father, also that her heart, no matter how far it has gone or if it hasn't gone away from you, Lord, but it will be turned back to you 100%. Thank you and praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you and praise you for these people here today. Lord God, they've poured their hearts out, the things that are concerning them. And I know that you've moved on their behalves, Lord God. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you that as they go about this week, that you move in their lives. Father, that you give them wisdom in situations that look impossible. Father, I thank you that you're moving on people's lives right now in Jesus' name, clearing things up for them, making things smooth, their way straight. In Jesus' name, amen.